And so now, Lord, I pray that you speak to us. Do what only you can do. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I saw a video recently, just this last week, in fact. I don't know where it was, but apparently there was an animal park where some people could actually drive through and they could come amongst wild animals and take pictures and video right from their cars. Here was a car, a white Toyota was sitting there, and here was a lion, about 15 feet away. And in the car, the windows were rolled down and the two children were leaning outside taking pictures. Now, somebody behind them decided to videotape this. Let me ask you something. How big can stupid get? Pretty large. I mean, okay, let's see. Meat-eating, carnivorous creature made to pounce at a moment's notice lying here. Car, windows down, children leaning out. But you know something? I think we've got a situation in our lives where we're looking at the devil and our windows are rolled down. I watched a journalist one time hypnotize a guy and got him, I mean, right there on television, and got him to say a word that he didn't realize that he had said. And then when people kind of snickered, he said, "What are you snickering about?" And then they showed the tape and they didn't realize, you know, he didn't realize what he had done. I was waiting for a friend of mine one time, and there was an office that was right there where they were going to be coming out, and it happened to be a place where they did this. They tried to help people get away from smoking or, you know, some other habit or whatever, and one of the things that they used was hypnosis. And I got to talking to the guy, and I said, "Do you mean to tell me that you could actually hypnotize me by just us talking here?" And he said, "Yes." And I got real nervous because I don't like somebody else having power over me like that. But folks, life is a power struggle. And I want you to know something. We have someone that the Bible has plainly declared is a roaring lion going about seeking whom he not tease, not growl at, but somebody that he can devour. That scares me. Because I think we've got our windows rolled down. We had a great time this last week. It was really good. I loved it. I think Brother Schmidt, he prayed for these meetings, and I would encourage you to listen to him. I love getting those CDs and just putting them in my truck. I don't drive my truck much now because of this, but when I had opportunity, just listening and downloading it onto my iPhone, you know, and just being able to listen. I loved it. It was Tim Schmidt, but it's a man of God preaching, and I rejoice in that. We had a great time starting this last Sunday. But then I found out on Monday that there was something else that happened as well. About a year ago, I was down at the Bible college where some of our young people have gone, including my own kids. And I met a fellow there that I've seen there for many years. It was always a highlight to see him. We always had a great time joking, kidding around. He actually started going to the church down there in Southern California where some of the young people have gone, and I think you know who I'm talking about. He started going there in 1990 and made sure of his salvation in 1992 and actually came on staff, was actually an interim youth pastor, started working with the college kids there, did a lot, taught Sunday school. He was always great to be with. It was a lot of fun. It was great. But something happened about a year ago, not quite a year ago, I should say. Now, Lord knows, He wound up having surgery and started taking some heavy medication. Something started changing. And because of that, about 9 months ago, they actually had to let him go from staff. And this man who met his wife there at the church, and he and his wife had 5 children together, left his wife and his children. I'm not going to go into the details of what transpired just briefly before this. But a week ago tonight, that same man that was the pastor's personal helper, I mean, he was his personal administrative assistant, a great man of God, pulled up to a car, brought out a gun, and shot the man that had been in his Sunday school class before, shot him several times dead at that light. The next morning at 6:30, officers found him slumped over his steering wheel in his car, dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Now, if you knew this guy, it would absolutely, it would blow you away. How did this happen? Where in the world did this come from? I can just say this. Sometimes we let our windows down and we are absolutely insane with the fact that we have an enemy that is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, you know, Tim Schmidt got into the Word of God. And he preached a lot of good stuff. And I thought, you know what? We've got to ask ourselves, just like those in Berea, are these things so? Is it possible that if we get nonchalant, if we wind up, you know, when the Lord really starts pressing, we decide to leave the auditorium and go get some coffee, or just, you know, take off, or just, you know, excuse ourselves from, you know, coming to church or whatever. Is it possible that we're rolling our window down? Is it possible that we're saying no to the Savior and yes to sin, not seeing the fact that we've got an enemy, folks? Let me give you a for instance. This last Sunday morning, Brother Tim Schmidt preached on brokenness. Brokenness. Let me ask you something. Is brokenness something that we really need to hear about? That we need to participate in? He talked about, about Jacob. And there in Genesis 32, where the angel said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he, Jacob, said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." He mentioned what Roy Hessian said in the book Calvary Road, brokenness in daily experience is simply responding with humility to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want any hands up, but I want hearts listening. Why? Because I'm the pastor. This is a God-ordained place where somebody comes in lieu of a Savior speaking for him from the Word of God and asking questions because God so loved you. Let me ask you something with no hands raised. Has there ever been a time in your life? Now come on, let's not play cheat, okay? Let's not lie to ourselves. The easiest person in the world to lie to is ourselves. Ask yourself, in all seriousness, has there ever been a time in your life where you were broken before God? I mean, not only were you broken, you're still broken. In other words, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'll do what you need for me to do. Lord, you know, I'll be what you want me to be. Lord, my passion is you. I will not let you go until you bless me. Now, he preached a great message there, and I'm not here to repeat that message, but I want to ask you, is this so? Is this so? Was the message this last Sunday morning, was it important? Or was it something that we go up to Tim and we say, hey, great job. You know, you did, it was good. Good content. Good delivery. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, but what about the message? He gave a simple outline. Jacob got alone with God. Jacob was hungry for God. Jacob was broken by God. And Jacob got honest with God. Let me ask you something. Are you being honest with God right now? Now, you've got to admit, that's a good question. Because if you say that you're being honest with God, and yet there are things in your life that ought not be, you got your window down. And I'll be honest with you, you're playing big stupid. Because this preacher is tired of seeing what Satan can do to God's people. The world is recognizing it. The world is looking at us, not only mocking our God, but threatening us. Oh, you know, you Baptists, you don't know what you're talking about. You Christians, I'm telling you, it's all a lie. And you know, the fact of the matter is, some Christians are living it like it's a lie. Hey, brother, how you doing? But the fact of the matter is, you got your window down at home. You got your window down on the job site. You got your window down when it comes to your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I quoted Pastor Ron Perry recently, and I thought this was great. We need to stop telling God what is bothering us. And we need to be asking God what bothers Him. Lord, is there anything in my life right now that is bothering You? That's a good question, isn't it? Lord, is there anything in my life? And I mean anything. Because, Lord, if there is, I want to take care of it right now. I don't know what it's going to take, but God, I've got to do something. Well, I don't know what it might be. Hey, like He said, a good place to start is Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look. Oh, I'm not proud. You know, folks, seriously, it's easy to get there. And it's easy to stay there. And it's easy to lie to ourselves about that. Because if we're calling the shots, you're proud. If you're deflecting to somebody else, you're proud. You know, I'm okay. No. We need to throw all the windows open, all the doors open, as it were, to Christ and not to the devil. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. You know, like innocent people around the situation that wind up paying a price because of our own pride and stubbornness. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Well, I'm not there. You know, I'm not thinking about pornography and stuff like that. Yeah, but what about if we're devising an imagination to make it look like we're doing okay and everybody else is doing wrong? You know, that really, you know what? That I don't really need God, like you're saying so, preacher. I mean, listen, we've got stuff in us that is so redundant to deflect and defend ourselves. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Discord among brethren. Are we really doing that well? Or are we letting our window down? And the lion is looking our way and he's licking his chops. If you would have told this man that I was with about a year ago, if you would have told him then what he would be doing, I'm sure he'd have said, you're absolutely insane. And everybody around him would have said the same thing. Folks, I'm talking about a godly man, a great man. I watched him through the years. It was always great to see him. And a week ago tonight, he's putting bullets in somebody that was in his Sunday school class and then putting one in his own head later on that night. It has been a horrible, horrible time for that ministry down there, and I know that they would appreciate your help. They just had yesterday, they just had a closed memorial service for him. But the family and the church have been going through absolute agony. The pastor has been as well. How in the world did this happen? Somebody let the window down. And they thought it was a lark. I don't know what took place. I don't know. Was he saved? Yes. I really believe he was. I think Satan got a hold of him and absolutely thrashed and trashed him. Do we really fear God to do all we can to distance ourselves from, for instance, these sins? Do we really do all we can? His coming is getting nearer and nearer. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, God has been so good to this fellowship. I got to thinking about what we've heard in the last 2 weeks. When Pastor Lane was here and he preached that excellent message on fearing God, the blessings of fearing God, 17 points. Now, Brother Whiteside was going to get up and he would say that he has 17 points. You know, you should bring a sack lunch, you know. I'm just kidding. But I mean, that message was so good and so on point. And to go from that to hearing Brother Schmidt this last week, it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. But here's the thing that we got to ask ourselves, whether it be fearing God or whether it be this, you know, needing to be broken. Are these things so? Dr. Bob Jr. wrote a wonderful poem on brokenness. 5 broken loaves beside the sea and thousands fed. As thy hand, Lord, in breaking blessed the bread. Men would throng in emptiness have sent away whose need was met with broken bread that day. A broken vase of priceless worth, rich fragrance shed, in ointment poured in worship on thy head. A lovely thing, all shattered thus, what waste, they thought. But Mary's deed of love thy blessing brought. A broken form upon the cross and souls set free. Thy anguish there has paid the penalty. Sin's awful price and riven flesh and pain and blood. Redemption's cost, the broken Lamb of God. Oh, break my life. If it must be, no longer mine, I give it thee. O break my will, the offering take, for blessing comes when thou dost break. Is that so? Does blessing really come when God takes us and breaks us? Are we willing to be broken? Sunday night we heard about what revival demands. Tim's desire was for us to be willing to pay the price for revival, and I say God has the same desire. In some cases it might cost a lot, but it's well worth it. And it is. But do we really want it? We heard that familiar verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. We're in the middle of a big drought. I know we might be tempted to think, boy, I'm telling you what, they better humble themselves at the Capitol. I mean, these politicians, they better realize God's power. No, I think if God's people responded, we'd have rain. But the problem is we're too busy pointing and deflecting on somebody else. Talking about Dr. Bob, I love Dr. Bob Sr.'s saying, and you might be offended at this and you might wonder what he meant, but it was just simply this. Just think about it. He says, no doubt the problem is with you. In other words, you know something? If there's a problem, check me first, Lord. Check me first. Like Tim reminded us, when it comes to that, not all Scripture is written to us, but all Scripture is written for us. The passage brought these three things: the need for forceful preaching, fervent prayer, and faithful purging. Go to James chapter 4. He took us there. Real quickly, just James chapter 4. Take a look at this again. James chapter 4, verse 6. But He giveth more grace, He said. James chapter 4, verse 6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud. You know that word pride just keeps coming back up. But giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. You know what that means? Roll the window up. Roll the window up. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves there in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. This is how it will happen. When it comes to aspects of revival, humble ourselves. We got to ask ourselves, again, it comes back. Have we humbled ourselves? Yeah, but it's still the other person's fault. Folks, I'm telling you, when we do that, not only do we roll the window down, we open the door and we get out. We've got to be ready, because the enemy, and we have an enemy, he's not an irritant, he's an enemy. And I don't care how some preachers talk about him on television. Oh, he's toothless, you know, he's got no power, he's this, he's that. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I look around and I see him shredding and taking God's people apart right and left. And somehow we still don't get it. I want us to get it, folks. I want us to get it. I want us to get it like the first century church got it. Because they paid the ultimate price. They literally went, they went to literal lions and stood firm in the faith. And let me tell you something. If we think just by our gut and just by initiative, we can stand unashamed of the gospel, I've got news for you. You're going to be sorely disappointed. Sorely. Because flesh melts just like that. It takes Holy Spirit power to look into the face of a magistrate, somebody who is telling you, put your Bible down, don't quote it, don't open it up. It takes more than just a gut reaction. It takes humbleness in Christ. That's what it takes. John R. Rice said, again, as we were reminded, all our failures are prayer failures. Is that true? Is that so? I think so. And he was right. It's easy. You know, it really does get easy. You get up in the morning, you've got time, you open your Bible. And you read. You come to church, you feel good. But to pray, isn't it interesting how Satan, the flesh, the world, I mean, it's so much baffles us in prayer. I know some of you have heard this story, but I'm going to, and I can't remember exactly who it was. I think it was John Wesley. Man said, you know, I can pray and my mind won't wander. How many of you, when you pray, your mind wanders? Yeah, exactly. And that's that discipline that we've got to deal with. John Wesley said this. He says, I'll tell you what. He said, if you can pray, I think it was something like for 5 minutes. If you can pray for 5 minutes and your mind not wander, I'll give you my horse. True story.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Okay, I'll do it. Guy gets down. He starts praying. 30 seconds later, he looks up. Does that include the saddle? Our mind wanders. Our mind wanders. We just bring it right back down. We just bring it right back down in discipline. You see, prayer, like I've said before, prayer is more than hard work. It's heart work. It's heart work. And it will exhaust you. But the effort is so worth it in Christ. Monday night, Tim preached on bitterness. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, we hate the word cancer these days. It's like the word leprosy was in the Old Testament. But there is a cancer here. It eats away at us. This is another place we let the window down. And we're taking pictures and we're not seeing the seriousness of the situation. The message from Brother Schmidt was very plain. We don't have to hang on to bitterness. In fact, we must not hang on to bitterness. That was a command. Put it away. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. Forgive. Well, I've tried. No, no, no. Listen, this is what you do. You forgive, like the Bible says, as Christ forgave you. Bitterness is resentful, resentfulness. It's harshness. It's unforgiveness. It's a direct result of an unforgiving spirit. That's why the Lord told us in Matthew 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave it there before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. From the other side, we hear this from Matthew 18. Peter came and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? I'm feeling good. You know, I'm feeling spiritual. The Lord says, no, not till seven times. Till 70 times seven. In other words, you forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive. Why? Because there's a cancer that needs to be gotten rid of. There's a cancer that needs to be cut out. James 3, he mentioned, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Did you hear that? You've not only rolled the window down if you keep holding on to this, an unforgiving spirit, a harshness in how you deal with anybody. You've not only rolled the window down, not only have you opened the door, you've walked up to the cat laying right there. It's devilish. You've joined in the situation. That's not good, folks. That's not good. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. You know, we kid about husbands and wives. My wife at times says, you know, you're really easy to live with. Now, I'll guarantee you she doesn't say that all the time. And I find out that if she's not willing to say it, I better take care of something right there. Colossians 3, Paul said, husbands, love your wives. That's not phileo. That's not an affection. That is the love of God. Agape, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The world isn't going to tell you and give you any kind of wisdom. I don't care if you read a book, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. I'll take my Bible and I'll get my wisdom from there when it comes to how I deal with my wife. And it tells me to love her and be not bitter against her. Right now is not a happy time in my life. How many of you guys, you like to drive? You like to drive? How many of you, okay, now wait a minute. Ladies, watch this. How many of you guys, you drive different than your wife? Raise your hand. Lance, Susie, thank you for looking that way while he was putting his hand up like that. I can't wait to get this knee done. I can't wait to get this surgery done. And there's something that's going crazy with me. Because I get in the car to drive, and I've got a nerve that goes back here that's going to get taken care of, Lord willing, with the surgery, with the knee replacement. And there are times when I'm driving, it comes alive. I'm not kidding. I am all over the seat. I can't drive a lot right now. I drove in this morning, and I shouldn't have, because we had the grandkids with us, and so Bernie was taking care of them, and I wanted to get to the church. And so here I am. I'm driving the truck in, and it just it lights up. And I mean, it drives me nuts. So you know what? My wife has to drive, and I sit in the passenger seat. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Because I'm sitting there thinking, do you realize if I had been driving, we would have been there by now, but still we're in this crazy traffic, we're at the light. Lance is loving this. I'm going to keep going on this. No. You know what I do? I just shut up and let her drive. Amen. What we need to do, as Tim said, we need to go from principles to practice. The Bible tells us, this is what you do. Praise God. Now let's go out and do it. Why? Because these things are so. They are. Do we really see Satan as a roaring lion? Or do we just for fun roll the window down? Tuesday night we heard a message about hell. I don't know about you, but I'm not kidding. This is a place that it must be preached, but I don't like preaching on hell, but it's got to be preached on. It must be, because my Bible tells me about hell. You know, preacher, I just don't see that. I can't fathom hell. Neither can I. I can't fathom time, and I can't fathom space. But I see both. I'm going through both. I just can't fathom them, and you can't either. And not the most brilliant scientist around can fathom it. I just know this. My Lord and Savior came, and with tears in His eyes, and with a passion in His voice, He was telling people about a place called hell, and He was here so that they wouldn't have to go. And so He told the story, not the parable, but the story of the rich man in hell. I hear this. And in hell He lifted up His eyes, being in torments. And we've already talked about this, that there are people that we have in our families and that are close to us, that are there. Excuse me. That are on their way there. And that's not good. That's not good. Because the lion that we say we need to roll up our window and make sure the door is closed, he's going to be there. That's where he's going. I don't want family there. I don't want people that are close to me there. And yet there are people that they're not seeing it. They're just not seeing it. Go to Romans chapter 10, if you would please. Romans chapter 10. Paul talked about those in Israel. Brethren, look at verse 1, Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now listen to this verse. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now listen to that verse. Listen to that. There's a blurred line here where I think that there are people that honestly believe they're saved. They've gone about to establish their own righteousness, but the fact of the matter is they don't have it. It's theirs, but it's not God's. And we look at Israel and we look at other people that are going about and establishing their righteousness. How many people have I talked to, even this last week? Well, I'm a good person. But you know, we've got Christians that are like that. That even after recognizing that they need a Savior, and they trust that Savior, they wind up going back to old habits and trying to establish their own righteousness. They have not seen that they need to be broken. They haven't seen that. They haven't seen the need for humbling. That's hard. And my soul, we have gone through our human history when it comes to being challenged about our righteousness, pointing fingers at other people or trying to say that, you know, we're doing okay. You know, that kind of talk wound up to murder. Cain killed Abel. But he learned something from his parents. Because when God came along and said, hey, why are you hiding yourselves? Adam blamed Eve. But what he was really doing is he was blaming God. He said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Eve turned around and blamed the serpent. We've been blaming other people and other situations ever since. And the more we do that, the more we crank the window down. My fear in part, and I know I've said this before, my fear is that we have people, even gathered, maybe even now, have fooled themselves and never gotten serious with Paul's admonition in 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Are these things so? Are they so? Or was Tim just wasting time and we were hearing a good message and praise God, that was great. And then finally on Wednesday night, preached a message on simple Christianity. I loved it. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Can I ask you a question? Is that so? Is that so? You know, there is something in the human psyche, somehow, that likes to draw a wall right here. And the person that opens up God's Word and speaks of these things, well, he's a safe distance. But my Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. The preacher might be up here, but the Lord is amongst us all. And He's asking, are these things so in your heart? Are they so? How much are you trusting me? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. You know what really got to me? As I was going over these messages, I saw, amazingly, Tim didn't do this, the Lord did. There was a theme, there was a ribbon that was sewn through, that was brought through all these messages. And that ribbon, if you will, was woven around these truths. We do indeed need to be broken. We need to humble ourselves. In every aspect, because we need revival, because there's a place called hell, and because there are people that are being eaten alive by the lion, the devil, we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek His face. In other words, we need to get ourselves to understand that right here, we've got to quit leaning on our own understanding. Because as far as our understanding goes, it's okay to leave the window down, just a little. And it's amazing how that window goes down a little bit more and a little bit more. We turn the television on, and the window comes down a little bit more because we've been listening to something we shouldn't have. Or we've been watching something that we shouldn't have. We see some things on the internet and the window comes down a little bit more. And I'm not saying that a year from right now, if the Lord tarries, I'm not saying that you're going to be bringing a gun out and trying to shoot someone. But I am saying this, if there are people in this building that are not taking serious what God has to say, when the Lord says, are these things so? What would it possibly be that you could be doing a month from now or 2 months from now? Or what is it that you might be doing that nobody else knows about right now? You know, it's interesting. I remember years ago, all the talk about, we've got to get away from smoking. You remember that? I remember the day that cigarette commercials had to stop on television. Every commercial on television that day was a cigarette commercial because they had to get them run out. They bought all kinds of time and broom it, and then that was it. That was it. No more cigarette commercials. You want to know how stupid mankind is? We have decried cigarette smoking, but now we've got people embracing pot. Paul, you know what I mean? You've been seeing, you know, and it's like, what is, they're calling the Super Bowl the pot bowl. Because the two states that are represented there, and you know something, really, in many ways, it's not funny. We've got kids that are listening to that. Because you know what's really sad? The government is trying to roll your window down. Entertainment is trying to roll your window down. Break their hands if you have to, and roll the window up! But all the while, we're rolling the window down. Now let me ask you, are these things so? The line that was drawn through, the ribbon, if you will, the theme going all through this last week, what we heard, even going back to Brother Lane, when he preached on the fear of God. I'll never forget, and I'm not going to say who it was, but I'll never forget, and this is many years ago, a man that we knew that was dying of cancer. Why was he dying of cancer? He was smoking. He asked me to go over and pray for him. I anointed him with oil. He kept smoking. Where's the logic in that? And yet, here we are, we've rolled the window down. We're exposed. The Scripture has been opened to us. And we're finding reasons not to listen. We're finding reasons to leave it to other people to respond. And all the while, a world is going to hell and the church is losing its power. But we're okay. One day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And we're going to wonder, why in the world did I roll the window down? There are times, I'm telling you, that there are times I'll just stop. And I'll think of places where the Lord was merciful. When I was so stupid to roll the window down, and yet God spared me. But there have also been times that He let the serpent bite. We can't have that. Folks, brokenness. Okay? Brokenness. Getting rid of bitterness. revival, the need for revival. Simple Christianity, a place called hell. Are these things so? I'll tell you what will happen, and this is in closing. We have every possibility of coming out of this week, this last week, and letting those things just fade off into the sunset. It was fun. Brother Schmidt did a good job. And we just walk on. We just ride on. And we forget. And all the while, the Holy Spirit has been seeking us, been drawing us, been calling to us. But we're not hearing Him because our wind is rolled down. And we're taking pictures of the wicked one. Let's pray.